The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Whatever that was supposed to be.
I don't know. It's Sunday once again. A boom shakalaka laka boom. It's January 21st, 2024. My name is Mark Kenton. I'm your host with Sovereign Minds, the radio cast. I guess that's a radio cast, though, a radio program. Anyway, I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And the kid that rocks around the clock, we've got Dave Johnson, Cyber Dave.
Good morning.
Very good. who also operates under various aliases. And
we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that. Our producer,
what are you talking about? He's always the same to me.
What?
Yeah.
So we've also got Chris is also the producer today, doing a great job as usual. Hi, Chris.
She's currently on
the phone. I thought I heard the phone.
There you go. I didn't even notice. Well, we're lagging a little bit. I guess I didn't have enough coffee this morning.
I'm only on my first energy drink, and not even through that one. It's problematic.
Being overwhelmed with the news cycle as usual, just because.
Well, being overwhelmed, yeah.
It's just out of control. I mean, the news doesn't report anything of value anymore. I mean, you look at the news, you just feel like you're in a freaking elevator on the Blues Brothers movie or something. No, you know, they don't report anything. And anything of value.
Well, it's interesting, too, like all this Epstein crap, man. I mean, you go through and you look at we knew every bit of this 3 years ago. What are they trying to hide? Like, what are they hiding right now?
Well, come on. You know exactly what they're trying to hide.
Let's talk about the FBI defying the court order about the Seth Rich evidence. You know, so Seth Rich was a DNC staffer who was, you know, shot to death. You know, it was just a arbitrary shooting. Nobody knew. Nothing was on. You know, nothing to see here years ago. Only now we find out that the FBI has his flash drive, his laptop, all of these things. And they were ordered by a judge to turn over, and this was in November, to turn over all this evidence because on that laptop in the DNC, you know, that's where the Podesta emails came from. All this stuff came from the Seth Rich stuff, the Podesta emails, Hillary, all of this stuff back in the day. And, of course, that was the real Russian collusion. And this is the Julian Assange thing. Evidently, you know, Seth Rich, Julian Assange alluded to that Seth Rich was probably his inside information on where these emails were coming from that were all exposed on the WikiLeaks and all this stuff. And then he just gets whacked arbitrarily out of the blue for no reason other than you know, his wallet's still left on him. So, oh, it's a robbery, only they didn't take anything. And so the FBI, they don't do stuff like that, do they? They follow the law to the letter. That's why they're not.
Yeah.
you know.
Whose law?
So the fact of the matter is that it used to be that the Pulitzer Prize was the best thing you could get at the as a journalist. Nowadays, the CIA surprise is the best thing that you can get as a journalist.
It's just unbelievable. You know, I just get so sick of these idiots. Oh, yeah, nobody's above the law. I guess when you make up the stories and you know, even the judge this last wouldn't even allow Trump to go to his mother-in-law's funeral. What kind of a jerk does that, you know? And then you find out, I mean, this is all made up crap. So nobody's above the law, except the guys that are making up charges that aren't real to go after their political opponents. But when the FBI refuses a judge's order, nobody says anything. You know, this was an order that said, this was in late November, a federal judge ruled that the FBI must hand over this evidence regarding the former DNC employee, Seth Rich, and his murder to this Ty Cleaver, who's been going after this like a dog on the hunt. And, you know, what's interesting is that this is big news, you know, since the FBI has been attempting to bury the information on what they wanted to do is they want to extend the information of being released for 66 years. And then when they were ordered to cough it up anyway, Christopher Wray just goes, nah. So I guess they don't have to follow the law anymore because they're a judge ruling or anything. You know, it's kind of like, you know, nobody's above the law except, you know, you got Biden. He just turns around and forgives all the student debts contrary to a judge's order. Where's the separation of powers here? You know, these people... It's a one-way street. You're being held to a standard while they're not. You are not above the law while they are. This is a reoccurring thing that seems to be just happening over and over again.
It's been going on for a long time. That's the problem.
And
it gets deeper and deeper and deeper with everything that they're doing. But the other side is starting to, you know, bring out the information and show the people exactly what's going on if you don't listen to mainstream media.
Well, and so I'm looking at the tweet from this Ty Clevenger, who's the attorney, and this was on January 11th. He says, just when I think the FBI can't get any more arrogant or lawless, there's this from the Seth Rich case, where the FBI is not going to turn over the evidence, so they just refuse to. Not to comply with the judge's order. And where's all the mainstream media reporters? Does this pass the smell test? Why don't they want to turn over the evidence? What's up with that? I mean, really? So that, why are you hiding? What would the FBI have to hide from a laptop from the DNC and the Podesta emails? Why would they not turn it over in this, supposed, you know, murder of, Seth Rich that was just done arbitrarily by somebody in DC that had nothing to do with the case, even though, it seems like anybody that's close to Hillary, and we're up to like 51 suicides or, you know, unexplained deaths. And, I mean, what are the odds?
Yeah. Well, anybody else, like you say, you know, they would be sending agents to your door and arresting you and putting you in jail for not producing the evidence that you're supposed to be or the information to the court system like you were told to do.
I don't know. There's not two tiers of justice system where they raid Mar-a-Lago but they tip off Joe ahead of time to make sure that none of the documents are it might be compromised to the FBI. They go in and negotiate the time that they're coming in So there's no two-tier justice system, is there? There's no targeting of your political enemies. No, it's like they're just protecting everybody's constitutional rights, right?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Why don't they just close the FBI down? Because they're so out of control. I mean, what good are they doing besides more corruption? Just saying.
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, why not?
You know,
cease and desist. You know, you can't do your job.
What's the problem of having a corrupt, out of control agency that doesn't follow the law anymore? Doesn't separation of powers? Judicial branch, executive branch, legislative branch. None of that means anything. We're the FBI. We can do whatever we want because we are them and you are not. And so shut up and do what you're told. And by the way, if you're anywhere near the Capitol, we're going to use a tracking device to hone in on your cell phone so that we can arrest you even though you didn't do anything wrong.
Well, oh, I think that goes, I'm sorry, it goes beyond the, around the Capitol. They kind of, you know, keep us under surveillance everywhere right now. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. So we got a fast moving show, today, obviously the way we started already. And, you know, but we do want to say we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent. She's a great gal. She's down there in Red Bluff. And you can call her at 530-527-5534. She's the best and will take care of all of your insurance needs. Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575. Crackmasters, we've got,
Yeah, he's located at 3208 South Market Street here in Reading. He's a great guy. If you have any problems with chips or crack on your windshield, give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373. Also, I want to do mention about some fundraisers that are coming up. You know, it's not saying that we support one candidate more than another. This is just the information that was brought to me is Laura Hobbs is having a fundraiser on January 27th at 4 p.m. at Happy Valley Community Center located at 5400 Happy Valley Road. So if you want to show your support, get a hold of them for tickets at 805-710-4905. Also coming up in February, we have a fundraiser for Patrick Jones going on, February 23rd. That is on a Friday. I just want to let people know usually the fundraisers are on the weekend. This happens to be a Friday night at Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 Center Street. Tickets are $40. Tables, $300.
All right, and I did have one real quick. 8th Annual Walk for Life that my wife puts on. It's also going to be January 27th. It's going to be a 9:30 start time. It's going to be held and beginning at 777 Cypress Avenue there in Reading. And the walk is actually going to start at around 10 a.m. Looking forward to seeing you all there.
Well, we may not support all of these candidates, but I do support Patrick Jones.
I do support.
And I'm in his district.
I can't vote for him. I'm not in his district anymore, but, yes, he's done a fantastic job, and we do need to keep conservatives in there.
Yeah, conservatives, not
conservatives,
not people who say they're conservatives but really aren't. Not that we're going to mention any names, but you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I do want to play. We got a couple of clips. I got a few things to go through here. I want to play this. This is from Buddy Brown, and this is, I think, an important thing for everybody to know. And so this is a family emergency meeting plan. And I think everybody should do this in light of everything that's going on. So I'm going to play this real quick. It's a couple minutes, and then we'll get on with the rest of the show. Here we go. Oh, we also have a guest coming in at, I guess, 11.
At 11. We do. We have one of the candidates coming in at 11.
All right. Don't hit anything, Frankie. All right. Here we
love you, Frank.
Here we go. I think we're ready to go. Let's give it a shot. I'm going to turn up my volume here a little more. There we go. Let's see what happens.
Top of the morning, y'all. This is the first video on the old 1985 K10. It's going to be the start of a very beautiful relationship because these are the best Arab trucks ever made. Now, I want to tell y'all something. I am a low-tech man in a high-tech world, as my friend Phil Robertson once so profoundly said. But I do think it's important to keep up with technology and to recognize the evils that's actually out there and how it can screw us. And this is one of those videos right here that is more important now than it's ever been. Listen to this. If I say, for instance, that artificial intelligence is being used to copy humans' faces and our voices, okay? Everybody knows that. But why don't we go into Red Alert 1000? Here's what I'm talking about. Recently, a California family just received a FaceTime call from what they thought was their daughter. With her face, she was on it. They heard her voice. It's her daughter, right? And they're seeing all this stuff, and she's telling them, Mom, Dad, I'm in deep trouble. They're going to get me. You have to send money to these people, or they're not going to let me out. They're going to kill me. Now, as y'all can imagine, the parents went into instant panic attacks. They were told to wire money to this bank account, or else, etc., except for one little fact. The whole thing, the entire thing, was fake. They had copied her face digitally off of her social media pages, and they had copied her voice artificially, and they're making her say and speak things into the camera when it's not actually her. Now, authorities said the audio and the likeness was definitely discernible as a fake, but you gotta put yourself in the position of the parents here. If you're hearing things like that over a FaceTime phone call, it's very understandable that you'd go into a panic very, very fast. Now, here's the reason I'm telling y'all this. I'm going to give y'all a way to never have to worry about this BS ever again. I did a video about 6 months ago, if y'all remember. It's about the importance of having family meetings. Y'all remember that? We got more emails about that one video than pretty much any video we did in 2023. And since I know the last thing any of us want is for this kind of thing to happen to our kids or our wives or our family members, this is how we beat this evil trend right here. Have a family meeting, okay? Leave the phones up at the house. They're listening devices. We all know this. You should know this by now. They're listening to you all the time. Go out in the backyard. Go somewhere private. I don't care where it is. Somewhere private where just you and your loved ones can hear. Sit down with them and explain this evil scam that's going on and how terrifying it would actually be to get a phone call from them. And then here's what you do. This is the kicker right here. Come up with a word or come up with a phrase that is known only to you or your family. You got that? It's got to be something unique as hell, okay, that nobody can ever guess. In the event that this horrible scam ever comes to your doorstep, you got to be able to say this phrase or code word. Otherwise, you know it's a scam. At this point, it is checkmate, my friends, because this is the one area where human secrets outweigh artificial intelligence. They're not going to be able to guess it. You hang up, and then you take your real son or your real daughter out to lunch, and you enjoy them. On that note, I really am glad to see so many of y'all are using these refuge privacy sleeves. These things are amazing. I slip my phone in them all the time when I want to go ghost.
All right, so I wanted to play this because I think it's very important. And I think what he's saying is spot on, because as the technology gets better and better, you're going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to tell here pretty soon, if not already.
It's already there. And yeah. there was actually another one that actually took place on the 18th that was after that one that he was referencing there. And it was in California. So here from the Daily Mail, California mom reveals terrifying moments. Son called to say he needed $15,000 bail because he had injured a pregnant woman in a car crash, but it was all a scam by con artists using sophisticated AI. Amy Trapp received a phone call from a voice she believed to be her son, Will, who was away at college and claimed to have just suffered a horrifying accident. It was my son's voice on the phone crying, telling me, Mom, I've been in a car accident. Another voice claimed to be that of a police officer came onto the phone and told Trapp that her son had been injured and injured a pregnant woman. In a panic, Trapp began envisioning her son bleeding out on the side of the road, trapped in an overturned vehicle, she told the outlet. The man claimed to be a public defender requesting a $15,000 bail for her son. Trapp believed him. Amy Trapp received a phone call. It was only when Trapp's husband reached out to the police directly the couple came to the realization it was a fraudulent scheme. The police told him that scammers used AI to copy their son's voice, all while he was safe in his room studying. Phone scam crimes in California have surged in recent years, increasing by nearly 50% since 2017. Now, in addition to this, that I'm going to go ahead and leave that story there. In addition to what he had said about the word, you need to make sure that that word is not said anywhere online. You don't have it in any of your text messages or anything else, because the problem is we are getting to the point to where AI is increasingly able to end up grabbing any of your information, any of your data. Now they have AI that can take a 3-second clip. So a lot of the times you end up calling up and receiving a phone call and it's nobody's there and you say, hello, hello, can I help you? That's it.
Yeah.
They got your
but
voice.
But this is something I did years ago with my kids, having a word so that if somebody showed up at their school or they were walking home and somebody pulled up and said, hey, your mom said for me to pick you up and give you a ride or whatever, they had to know the code word. I've been doing that for years with the kids so that they would know, not just over the telephone. Because like I say, you know, back in the day, there was, you know, people that would drive up and say, hey, your mom said for me to pick you up. Well, the kid doesn't know if they're friend or foe.
Right.
You know, so we always came up with a word.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna have a meeting.
It's very important. Yeah, and I remember when I was a kid, doing that.
You were a kid once?
Yeah, because of, I just lost the...
I'm sorry, dad doing what?
Because of the person that was going around killing people. Anyway.
Oh, probably the Zodiac.
The Zodiac Killer. Yes. Remember we used to have the block parents?
Yeah. I was in the seventh
block
grade,
people,
so
yeah.
You were probably in what, fifth or
yeah,
something.
The dad said, make sure that if anybody rolls up on you, you know these things that and all that. That was back in the day even then.
Yeah, that was the real deal down there.
When
we lived in the Bay Area, the Zodiac was like, you know, he was whacking people right and left there for a while. You know, what's funny is they never really caught the guy ever. And he whacked, like, at least they attributed, like, 30 people or something to him, you know. Anyway,
but like I'm saying, you know, that's something to put in place, not just over the phone or whatever. Your kids should know because they don't always know who's the friendlies are out there.
So I thought it was important to bring that up. All right, so moving along here, I want to talk about how the media is absolutely, you know, do you know why the people on the other side of the aisle, if you will, are so screwed up? Is because they're being constantly lied to about everything, and they've lost the ability to discern truth from facts by doing their own simple research. They don't believe anything, but they believe everything on the left and nothing on the right. Okay? So,
ran out of oxygen?
Maybe. I'm going to use this as I got a couple things here. All right. So I posted a thing on Facebook. Okay. And on Facebook it said, I posted this, said the two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution, so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. And they said, and then you go to the fact checkers. That's not true. Let's see the fact check. So I'm reading their fact check, right? Of course, I disagree. So the text reads, okay, so they're saying that what I just said was false. Okay? The text reads, the two enemies of the people are criminals in government, so let us tie the second down with the chains of a constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Now, can you even tell the difference between those two sentences? They're virtually the same, with a couple of different.
There's just a couple different words in there.
It's the same. The concept is exactly the same. So they're saying no. He didn't say that. It's not true. Even though, so the difference is, you know, is that is virtually non-existent. Okay, and so, but then they go on to say that. Monticello, not found in Jefferson's writings. Monticello was a house and a plantation owned by Jefferson. Exactly. Oh, but we'll make sure that you'll know he's a slave owner. Well, he didn't say to tie down the people with the chains of a constitution because you didn't want the criminals to get into the government and the government would become the criminals. You wanted them all to be subject to the same rules, kind of like what we're seeing now with the two-tier justice system where you've got the criminals telling everybody else what to do and not obeying the law themselves. Yeah, no, nothing to see here. And now I'm going to go on to the next one. This is why these people are just absolutely screwed up. Okay. Now this is on January 20th, this morning. You got Scarborough and what's her name? Henry Kissinger's daughter, I think. I can't think of her name. Scarborough and whatever her name is. Okay, MSLSD. And so they said. This morning, it's official. Okay, Jill Scarborough's a liar. Everybody knew that. Nobody knew that, right? But today, more than 3 years after January 6th and the unraveling of the big lie, Joe Scarborough claimed that four policemen died on January 6th. That is a complete freaking lie.
Yep.
But how many of these left-wingers that are watching, and I don't know, is there anybody watching MSLSD anymore? I mean, I don't know how you could. They've lied so many times.
I didn't even know they're still airing anything. I thought they lost so much.
Is her name Mika something? I don't know. Anyway, so Joe Scarborough, you know, got community notes, you know, where they correct him. So he posted that on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Four cops are dead because of Trump riots. Ask the widows and children if Trump was a law and order president. And then the readers added context. Five officers died either by natural causes or by committing suicide. Brian Sicknick, natural causes. And you can go to this tweet, and they provide all the proof of all these people that nobody died, but they're still pushing this narrative. And I heard this from one of my clients last year that said, well, I would be a little more on the side of the protesters if they hadn't killed all the cops. Her husband's a cop.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
what cops?
There was nobody that died that was a cop that was killed by protesters. Well, one suffered a stroke like 2 days later, and then the rest, the Howard Liebergood committed suicide, Jeffrey Smith committed suicide. I wonder why these guys are all committed suicide. Maybe because they got, I don't know. That's kind
of well, there's a lot of things that could have caused them to commit suicide.
Well, were they anywhere near Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I'm just saying. there could be something. Yeah. That determining factor.
You're getting too close to Hillary. Here's your suicide order.
Right, yeah.
So Jeffrey Smith, Kyle DeFreitag, and Gunther. I guess that's Gunther.
But that's Gunther what they do with a lot of the information is they only, you know, they twist it to make it sound like those guys died on January 6th when it had nothing to do with it.
No one's above the law.
You know.
Except us, and you're not. See, it's that's why these guys are so screwed up. Now, if there's any honest people out there that are on the left, they're dwindling down because even an honest guy, even a moron can start to see that you're being lied to unless you don't care. And then if you don't care, then your agenda is, oh, we've got to have climate change and all these things because our agenda, the utopia at the end, the end justifies the means. It means that we have to do this. We have to purge it. But, you know, if you have to kill a few, you know, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And so that it doesn't matter if we break the law because we're justified in our actions because we are good.
Yeah, okay.
And you are not.
That depends.
Here's a spoonful of sand.
That depends.
It really does. It just depends on how much you donate to their super PACs. And I mean,
yeah, who's got the money? Who pulling the strings? I'm just saying.
And can we just appreciate the man's name was Bankman?
But he didn't know. He wasn't aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
Just saying. And with that, I think we need to take a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years, written and composed by Jason Robert Brown, directed by Lauren Stanfield with musical director Cheyenne Hara. This musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the score, Reading, and at the door. The Last 5 Years, January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Studio at KCNR1460.com or online anyway. It's 1460 on your AM radio dial or 96.5 FM. And wow, it's like when we hit the break, it's like a madhouse. Everybody's like, look at this. Oh,
look at this one over here.
We got all this over here. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the town hall right now, and then we'll come back in a second.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. First up, the buck stops here. California is fed up waiting on Shasta County to distribute long-overdue homelessness aid, warning if over $4 million doesn't flow to the North State service providers within 30 days, the county risks losing it all. The funds awarded regionally over a year ago have been locked in county coffers, stalling 6 nonprofits ready to roll with approved housing and prevention programs. Now with Reading leading the NorCal Continuum of Care Network, the state demands the county relinquish withheld grants so critical projects can finally combat homelessness. Shasta administrators say they intend to comply if supervisors permit. This unacceptable delay distributing promised funds has tried state patients and kept needed housing help held hostage. The time has come for Shasta to relinquish the grants or wave goodbye to the money. Meanwhile, the sounds of progress ring out in Shasta Lake. Fencing lines Shasta Dam Boulevard, marking a $36 million redevelopment to uplift the community. The Cascade Village Project will transform eyesores into 53,000 square feet of affordable housing and retail. The city has teamed up with developers, the Rancheria Tribe, and a nonprofit to bring change on the boulevard. Bulldozers are chomping at the bit to clear room for 49 apartments and shops. The O Thrift Store and From the Hearth Coffee Kiosk are being demolished to make room for the new development. Nearby, the Rancheria will build lodging and more shops. It's a monumental makeover, years in the making. Although citizens have voiced their concern about how this project will change the city, Shasta Lake manager Jessica Lugo says, quote, "We are excited to see new development." For our last brief, a public service announcement. The Shasta County Republican Assembly, SCRA, is proud to announce our endorsements for the upcoming Shasta County Board of Supervisors elections. For District 2, the SCRA endorses Laura Hobbs for County Supervisor. In District 3, we endorse Wynn Carpenter. And for District 4, the SCRA endorsement goes to Patrick Henry Jones. We believe that these fine candidates will best represent the values and policy priorities of Shasta County voters who align with the Republican Party platform and principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberty. The SCRA also strongly urges voters in District 1 to vote no on recalling the sitting supervisor, Kevin Cry. We stand firmly behind Supervisor Cry and call on District 1 residents to reject this unnecessary and disruptive recall effort. We encourage all Republicans and like-minded independent voters to support our endorsed candidates and causes so that together we can ensure sensible, conservative leadership for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
I guess you got to treat every mic like a hot mic.
Yes, you do.
That is the moral of the story. We got a couple of real short clips to run here, and then we'll move on. I got some election result stuff, speaking of a bunch of dopes.
Well, if we could, we were on the topic before we ended up going over, and we were on the topic of misinformation and how all these news organizations just lie to you.
So liars.
The clip I sent you was a short clip of Rachel Maddow and all the times that she was really honest with us. And then
you mean Mad Cow?
Yes.
Oh, Maddow, Mad Cow. I think it was the same person. I don't know. It was just Maddox, Maddow, Mad Cow. Yeah, I got it up. I got it ready to go. And but I also have a real short clip of Biden here, and then we'll go to, we'll go from madman to mad cow. Here we go. Are we ready to go in there?
Creepy man.
Yeah, here we go. Let's try it and see what happens.
And by the way, guess what? I love it. They said you're spending all that money. Guess what? That's money saved. Billions of dollars the federal government does not have to pay. Billions and billions of dollars. That's a fact. By the way, and how much it cost to make that insulin the guy invented didn't want to patent it because he wanted it available for everybody. And how much it cost to make it? $10. T-E-N. Package it in every way. Add the, all the costs you could possibly think of.
That's not the right one.
$2, maybe $3. And charging $400 for it? Come on, man. No, I'm serious.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah, but that's not the one. Let's see.
I'll see if I can find it. Let me go ahead and play Mad Cow and then see if you can get the other one. The other one's actually creepier. That's more of a dementia-riddled mind, sort of like Swiss cheese of the brain deal. But there's some, you know, we need to put a montage together of Creepy Joe. I mean, cause we'd have to have a special event, cause it'd be probably a half an hour to an hour, clips, little short clips about hairy legs and all kinds of sniffing and all kinds of weird stuff. So here we go with Rachel, and, I didn't hear this one. I hope, Dave screened this. So if anything goes wrong, this is Cyber Dave.
The bottom line of this dossier, the bottom line allegation, the point of it is that the Trump campaign didn't just benefit from Russia interfering in our presidential campaign. The point of this is they colluded. They helped. They were in on it. This is kind of a real story. The connections between the Trump servers and the Alpha Bank servers were real. They were covert communications that someone was trying to hide, that the Trump Organization and Alpha Bank appear to have been trying to hide. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Oh, my God.
A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus.
That's
the
not
virus
misinformation,
does not
is
infect
it?
Them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. We and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision, but there is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. And that is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are.
We go to the Star Chamber and we figure out how that, in our infinite wisdom and how much smarter we are than everybody else, to make sure that we filter to you only the information that we consider not misinformation, because we are the Ministry of Truth, and being the Ministry of Truth, and you guys all not knowing your butts from a hole in the ground out there because you're too stupid to understand what truth and facts are. We are going to tell you what truth and facts are, and we take a big hit, on this with our credibility and the fact that anybody will watch us anymore, and our viewership is going way down because they've all figured out we're full of BS. So that was interpretation. Now I got it again, I think.
I sent it. Okay.
I think I have it up here. Okay. So here's
this is just. Disgusting.
This they probably screened this one because this is misinformation, I'm sure.
I tell every young man who's telling me I'm thinking of getting married or somebody, I said, look, you have any advice? They said, yeah, pick a family with five sisters or more. And they look at me, what the hell is that all about? I said, it's really simple. That way one of them always loves you, not the same one. You always have somebody on your side.
Wow.
That's not
wow, that's so funny.
That's not creepy. Hold on, I need to yell about that a little bit, you know.
Hairy legs, and the kids used to come rub them.
Yeah,
oh, please, leave the hair.
Yeah, and I love roaches.
I learned about roaches from little black kids.
I learned about roaches. I learned about roaches from my son Hunter.
Different kind of roach.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Yeah. So
he doesn't do any of those things. Come on.
You're not black if you vote for me.
Well, that goes into our conspiracy.
Yeah, if you won't vote for me.
Yeah, that whole Hunter laptop, that's a conspiracy theory.
Liar. That is a lie.
It was.
Except, no.
Why are we talking about Trump now? Come on, stop it, man.
The Russian collusion.
No, Trump.
Uh-huh.
Trump used an AI program to create the laptop, and they created his Hunter's signature, and they created his.
And they created the AI and video of him snorting cocaine.
Yeah,
and
all of
the prostitutes and
young
stuff.
Love
yeah,
stuff going on. And
I wonder if they were five sisters.
The trafficking.
Just asking for a friend.
Yeah, they probably were sisters.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but all that's Russian disinformation. And have you seen what Trump's been doing lately? Yeah, he's got 91 indictments from people who are trying to get him politically with no rule of law behind them. It's called lawfare, and yeah. But that's a conspiracy theory again, just like climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now how about election hacking? Let's go there.
Well, can we
that doesn't happen. Come on.
Appreciate. It used to be global warming, and now because
it's climate change,
freaking country is completely under ice. They're like, climate change, climate change.
Everything
that's what
it is. Climate change now, don't you know?
Well, you
if
know,
we didn't have climate change, there'd be no problem. The voting machines would work correctly.
Do you know,
everything.
Do you know
climate
what makes
change.
Me suspicious is that no matter what they promote, whether it's climate change or Russian disinformation or Trump is the devil. It's really weird that no matter what it is, the solution is to give them more power and listen to them and don't hear the truth from anybody else but them, because everything else is misinformation. Unless
and
they
give
say
them more money, more power,
yeah,
money. You
yeah
know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The only way out of this is the taxes.
Yeah.
That's the only way out of the climate thing.
And you to give up whatever you have.
And you must eat the bugs.
Yeah.
Because if you don't eat the bugs, you will be contributing to your carbon footprint.
But it's okay for us not to eat the bugs.
Well, and mind you, we just had a World Economic Forum meeting, and their discussion for this year in particular, the year that we need to absolutely focus on, the number one thing that we've got to focus on is misinformation and disinformation. And so they've wound up all talking about censorship, AI, fear of Trump, A bunch of the other things going through on this. But at the same time as that's going on, you have Jordan Peterson just lost his case in Canada in regards to him needing to be retrained. And he needs to go into the thought training again and not be Jordan Peterson anymore. And then also Ireland has proposed a new one to make it illegal to possess reckless memes.
Those memes, okay. They're the work of the devil. They're satanic. Yeah, because they point out how screwed up these guys in power are with, like, false information, even though we have direct quotes from Thomas.
Jefferson. I'm glad you brought up the World Economic Forum.
I bet Trump is there, too.
Did you listen to the speech from the president of Argentina?
I have not heard that.
You need to listen to that about him telling you how bad not to listen to these people. Yeah, he calls it the state. You know, don't listen to the state. Don't let them take control of things. Stand your ground. And this is the president of Argentina.
I think he like
that just
I think
slapped him upside the head.
I think they called it the middle finger in your eye to the World Economic Forum.
Yeah. what's his name? Mullane?
I don't know.
But anyway, you should listen to that. But anyway, he did it. Yeah, he pretty much, you know.
I'll see if I can find the clip, but there was about a 4 or 5 minute span in which they're just talking about the new order, and they're really trying hard not to say new world order. They're just going, yeah, in the new order, we're going to end up indicating a couple of these things, and we're going to have these cities that are going to be able to be run all by AI. In the new order, we're going to be able to know where everybody's at for their safety. And then one guy's finally, yeah, the new world order, and they're like, sorry, I wasn't trying to drop the world in it.
Damn it.
His name's Javier Milei, I think is how you say it.
I can't pronounce it.
But anyway, I'm looking for the clip because, he just slams them hard.
You know, the problem is when we go to set up these shows is that there's so much stuff out there that's not being reported in mainstream that we're trying to hit. And it's all starting to get reported. You know, if you're not listening to Rumble or the Gateway Pundit or Need to Know News or, you know, there's so many of them, it's ridiculous anymore.
By the way, shameless plug, rumble.com/fires. Hi, that's me.
I mean, I can go on and on and on. I mean, there's so many alternatives now that are out there that you can go to. I mean, I'm just a few here. Underground, Unlimited Hangout, Conservative Treehouse. I mean, there's a ton of them. Zero Hedge. They're just a ton of them. And but, you know, of course, you have to vet everything because you get sensationalism and you get bias on both sides. But you're getting nothing on the left side, except disinformation.
I sent a clip.
Total propaganda.
I emailed you on the president of Argentina. I don't know if you got it.
I'll look
a
in.
Clip, yeah.
We're running out of time here, so I'll see if we can get to. We got 9 minutes to the top of the hour. But let's get to this election thing first, and then we can maybe get to
the machines.
A professor and election expert, Jay Halderman, hacks into Dominion voting machines in court on Friday in Georgia, in front of Judge Totenberg, using only a pen to change the vote totals. I guess
sounds like a clue
I
game.
Guess
he was in the courtroom with a pen.
I'd rather talk about the people that died, the officers that died in J6 that didn't die because I'm full of crap.
But there's nothing wrong with the machines. Just listen to our local elections office and stuff. There's nothing wrong with the machines.
Shut up about
you can't
the machines.
Hack them. They're not online. There's no problem.
Who is this woman?
It sounded like some kind of clue game. He was in the courtroom with a pen.
It was Professor Green
exactly.
With the candlestick. instead of a...
You can't make it up. I mean, come on. You can't make it up.
There you have it. Okay, so I have a little clip from this. This is from the Gateway Pundit, and this is a clip from Amber Connor, and she's talking about what happened. I'm not going to play the whole thing, just a minute or so of it. And you can go to the Gateway Pundit and look all this stuff up. They have the court. But my point is that, we just missed it over that MSLSD with, we forgot. Because we had to go get a brain scan, you know? So that's the thing, you know, that they're scanning their brains.
And one would just rip by the window. I'm just saying.
There's another conspiracy theory. The economy's doing great. You guys, we're not in a recession and the border's secure. All right, so here we go.
You were talking about the candlestick. That guy just walked by with the lead pipe. I think you got it wrong.
Like a gun barrel to me. I don't know. All right, so here we go. Let's see what this guy's got to say. This is an interview that was done. And this is talking about what happened in Georgia, I guess, because all of a sudden, all this stuff's starting to come out about all of this crap. And it's starting to resonate with people who are understanding. Otherwise, gee, every time they attack Trump, his polls go up.
Hey, so, Amber Conner, thank you for calling. I'm really anxious to hear what you had to say. Amber, you were at the courtroom for the Curling versus Raffensperger case that's been going on since for a week now. Maybe you could fill us in a little bit, but
yeah, for 2 weeks.
Okay, and this explosive development that we just heard about tonight at the Gateway Pundit, which is that the expert Halderman was in the courtroom and was able to change vote totals on the Dominion machines. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so just to give a background, Alex Halderman, he was the one who wrote the Halderman report that showed individuals how vulnerable the ballot marking devices, that's the machines that Dominion has its software on, and showed different ways where you can access through vulnerabilities within the ballot marking device. And a background of him is he works in Michigan. He has 3 degrees in computer science from Princeton University, does security analysis of precinct programs in the U.S. and in other countries. He's been in Australia, India, Estonia to do these things. He's been part of a team in California with the Secretary of State to help with forensics, and in Antrim County and in Louisiana.
Wow.
And when he analyzed the DNDs in Georgia, he was given the election equipment by court order. Now, he did have it for 12 weeks, and that's what the state's defense argues, is that if somebody had access to a BND that long with his knowledge of cybersecurity, then they would be able to do the same thing. I think his angle is more like, well, yeah, but if there's vulnerabilities. You're saying that there's not vulnerabilities. I'm saying that there are. And so what he did is they brought the ballot marking device and the printer up to the front, and it took them a while to angle in the courtroom because, he had his back to the judge. They did a microphone dance. It was, that took a bit of the time. But then what he did is he began to show the first vulnerability, and he borrowed the state's defense counsel, so the secretary, those representing the Georgia Secretary of State, he asked the main counsel to borrow his pen that he was writing with. And then he goes over to the power button, leans down, he holds down the power button for between five to ten seconds, probably 7 seconds, and it automatically puts the machine in safe mode, and this reboot happens. And he then shows the judge the display, and it shows a picture of the on-off button as he's pushing it for 5 to 10 seconds to instigate the reboot. But before you reboot the whole thing, it will, there'll be something that comes up to ask if he wants to go into safe mode. And then he pushes yes. So it doesn't shut it down or reboot. He just goes into safe mode. And that allows him to open up files and change the content of files.
Oh, nothing to see here. That's nothing. No evidence at all. We should go to our experts and say there's no evidence in the evidence, even though the evidence is there to present.
That was only that machine.
That was that one, yeah.
It's just that one. No other one could he do that with.
It was a special Dominion machine.
Yeah, it was.
Used from the courtroom.
Yeah.
And, of course, our expert here locally, she's a computer expert, isn't she? Because she said that there was no way they can be hacked. They can't be hacked. You can't have – there's no modems. You can't – it's not plugged
into
the wall.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as wireless networks. And she's
and they collect money out the back door.
And Dominion, this is all a big conspiracy theory, I tell you. And Trump probably had something to do with it. And the pillow guy, he's at the bottom of this. And Kevin Cry is probably involved somewhere as well.
Yes.
But, yeah. So, and your little dog, too. So, you know, at some point in time, the credibility of these people is completely gone. And so, again, we don't want to hear about the evidence of, like somebody said in the chat room, what's the evidence that Rudy G was trying to manipulate the elections? Why would he be trying to manipulate the elections at that point anyway? This isn't about Rudy Giuliani. We're talking about the Dominion voting machines on a court case in Georgia.
Right.
That, showing that the machines can be manipulated.
So much of this is spun, too. When you go back and you look at what was actually being alleged, and you look at what they claim was alleged after looking at the documentation, it's always that little spin. It's always the thing that goes, oh, that's false information because of this piece.
Yeah, there was no tampering with the elections. It was the other side. That's why we won.
Right. And if you go back to what Dr. Frank said, it makes sense. They have to have a back door into the machines in order to fix them.
Well,
or to update them.
Let me ask you this.
So,
does anybody change their vote that the elections were tampered with? Anybody? Hands, show of hands? No. Because, the laptop, the FBI shelved that with all that information. 2,000 mules, read the book, who cares? We go on and on and on and on.
And
the machines.
We're at the top of the hour. We will have to, I don't know if we'll pick up this subject, but we do have a guest in the studio and we will be talking with them after.
Back in about 5 minutes.
Yep.
Medical Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. After taking a breather at the start of the year, Wall Street has returned to its record-setting ways and is champing at the bit for tomorrow.
Climbing 1.2% Friday, the S&P 500 index starts the week at a record high. Its previous high-water mark was set just over 2 years ago. The Dow, which has enjoyed a string of record closes since late last year, gained 1.1% Friday, while the Nasdaq hit a 2-year high after advancing almost 2%. Hopes for a Fed interest rate cut and an encouraging University of Michigan report on consumer sentiment get some of the credit for helping to lift Wall Street spirits. Rich Thomason reporting.
U.S. and Chinese officials have wrapped up the third meeting of a working group established to cooperate on financial issues. It's a step that continues the trend set by the two powers last November to ease tensions. Officials from the Department of the Treasury met with counterparts of the People's Bank of China to discuss issues ranging from financial stability to the countering of money laundering. Pro-life leaders are vowing to never give up in the fight against abortion.
At the 51st Annual March for Life in Washington on Friday, Republican Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey acknowledged some obstacles at the state level following the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, we'll have a setback here and there. Every human rights struggle does, but we are undeterred. We will not give up.
And March for Life President Jeannie Mancini told the thousands in attendance,
"We will march until abortion is unthinkable."
Greg Clugston reporting.
North Korea says that Russian President Vladimir Putin has expressed his willingness to visit the North at an unspecified future date as the countries continue to align in the face of their separate but intensifying confrontations with this country. More on these stories at townhall.com.
To avoid digital threats, turn on NordVPN. It's trusted by millions of users. Just visit NordVPN.com. One of the fastest VPNs on Earth will block web trackers, malicious websites, and malware-ridden downloads. It will also encrypt your internet traffic while maintaining a smooth connection. So improve your digital privacy and protection against hackers with one simple click. Get the special deal at NordVPN.com and enjoy safer internet daily. NordVPN. Cybersecurity built for every day.
PDAC portrayal.
Life can be so unpredictable. After losing my dad, it made me think about my family if something were to happen to me. I had heard about life insurance through Ethos and how easy it was to get coverage. They were right. In 10 minutes, I was covered. And boom, family protected.
Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Forecasters issuing warnings across the U.S. as brutal cold weather continues to push southward. The National Weather Service predicts temperatures could drop below zero in several states that aren't used to that.
Forecasters say Tennessee, Kentucky, and Kansas could hit 15 below zero. The frigid weekend weather follows 2 weeks of storms, blamed for at least 61 deaths nationwide. Brutal temperatures caused many water pipes to burst in Memphis, Tennessee. City officials there told 400,000 people to boil their water.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Libya's state-owned oil company says production has resumed at the nation's largest oil field, ending a more than two-week hiatus after protesters blocked the facility over fuel shortages. The National Oil Corporation says it has lifted the interregnum at the Shahara oil field in the country's south this morning. News and analysis at townhall.com. A man arrested last month in the killing of a TV news anchor's mother has pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder.
Authorities say 44-year-old Sean Conlon has been arraigned in Vermont. That in connection with the death last year of 73-year-old Claudia Voigt of Windham, Vermont. She was the mother of Heidi Voigt, an NBC Connecticut news anchor and Miss Connecticut in 2006. State police say Conlon had rented a room in Claudia Voigt's home and then stopped paying rent in late 2022, but remained in the home until he allegedly attacked and killed her in February of 23. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, January the 21st, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including opera singer and conductor Placido Domingo, who is 83, and singer-songwriter Billy Ocean, 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I'm up on the tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on a tight rope. One side's hate and one is hope. But the top hat on my head is all you see. And the wire seems to be the only place for me. A comedy. I'm up in the spotlight. Oh, does it feel right? Well, the altitude seems to get to me. I'm up on a tight wire, blinked by life and the funeral pyre. But hang on, show.
All right. KCNR 1460, 96.5 FM. You're listening to Your Talk Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Just so you know, on the Rudy, I'm open to seeing anything on Rudy G trying to catch manipulation, but I don't trust any of the opposing sides anymore because they've lied about every charge they've ever levied against everybody. So show me some of the evidence, and I'll take a look at it. I think the law should be applied equally to everybody, but I don't see it being applied equally to anybody except the conservative side of the equation is, seems to be getting dumped on constantly with false charges, with lawfare, with raids that shouldn't have occurred. Take your pick. You got Fannie Willis down there in Georgia. She's colluding with the prosecutor, taking big payoffs, spending taxpayers' money, going after Trump for what? And in the meantime, they're trying to tie him up in court so that they can keep him off the ballot. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't care about Rudy Giuliani at this point. Anyway. Let's move along. So that was in the chat room. I just had to respond to it. Just say it. We have our guest with us. This is, Wynn Carpenter, who is running for, I don't know.
District 3.
Oh, I thought he was running for president. No? Wrong show.
stops out of his mouth.
Well,
he's running for District 3. I believe he's trying to supplant Mary Rickards out of that seat. Who thought? I thought she was going to retire, and then I guess she changed her mind because you're just such a radical guy, Wynn, that
she just couldn't stand it.
She can't stand it any longer. She had to run run again.
Yeah, well, I don't know what her reasonings are, but word is that, you know, there was nobody worthy running, so she decided to run.
You're not worthy?
I guess not.
Well, and
I have a pulse.
Yeah, I guess because you're a conservative and you think for yourself and you try to use critical thinking to decide what's best for the population in Shasta County, in your district, yeah, that's you're a bad guy.
Bad guy.
Yeah. Now, my only experience with Mary was when I was sitting in the room while 7 hours of people from nurses and doctors and school teachers were informing them that they were losing their jobs over the bad policies that they were creating and making, and saying that we should not have these mandated vaccines, and saying that we should not be doing all of these closures and businesses and things of that sort. And she could not be bothered to look up from her cell phone in that entire time. You have these people pouring their hearts out. She could not be bothered to turn around and look up and actually look at the people that's addressing them.
Well, it turns out all the evidence says that, yeah, we were kind of right all along. Vaccines aren't as great as they said. They didn't stop everything. But I don't want to go down that road of vaccines. Mm-hmm. The last thing I talked about with Mary, and I got to admit, let's just say it right off the top, I'm kind of biased, all right?
I am after that.
Because I've been sitting in the Board of Supervisors meeting year after year here.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. And all I get is, I'm a conservative, but I never saw a left-wing policy I don't like.
And I listen to NPR every day.
NPR, hey, they're the purveyor of truth, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
Show me the evidence. Oh, you did, but that's not good enough. My expert off of Google is better.
That was where I was going with the expert. I think we should listen to some experts on this last vote. Okay, how many times are we going to listen to experts? Because experts do not decide whether facts are facts or not. I mean, you can look at the whole vaccine controversy. They shut down any discourse with guys who were the guy who actually helped invent some of the RNA technologies, but he got censored. Okay, so if you just want to cherry pick the experts, that's one thing. Or if you're just trying to delay the process, and that's the way I saw it, is delay the vote. And that seems to be what government does, is if you're going to create a bigger government, let's vote for it. If you're going to create a smaller government, we need the experts to come in. What do you think, Wynn?
I agree. It's sad to see that we have that happening here in rural Shasta County. We're not a suburban county. We are a rural county.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand that and do your homework looking that up, because it makes a big difference on
our
budget.
Got changed.
Well, not yet. Not from suburban to rural. We did not. Not yet.
Can we hope for chains?
Well, we do have chains on us already. We need to get the change happening here, and that's what needs to happen.
So what is your platform, Wynn? If you had to just line out your platform, what would be the things that you want to accomplish?
What are you, like, your top three or four issues?
Okay. Well, I want to do forensic audits.
Yeah.
Because I've been barking about that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we had, you know, when we had the Reading Patriot Group and we had the all the other stuff going on, we would have guests come in and speak to us every week, right? Well, we would have all these politicians that have been in office, that are currently in office. We've had them come and speak to us, and they would tell us what they're going to do. And some of them would get in there and not do any of what they said. And that's very frustrating, because here they're trying to garner your vote, and they were successful. They get in there, and then they don't do what they said they're going to do.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I do. It's very frustrating, because then, essentially, you lied to us. And I'm not about that. If they're going to lie to us, just say, hey, I'm going to – or just be honest and just say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. But they're fearful of doing that because, guess what? They won't get the votes. They won't get in there and get into that position.
Right.
It's really a sucky thing, this whole political – God, I just feel like I need to take a shower every time I talk about it, Because, you know, it's like you got to lie to everybody to get the votes. Is that how it works?
A lot of them will say anything in order to get the votes.
That's true, because they don't have anything to stand on.
Right.
So forensic audits and looking at all the departments, whether you do full-on forensic audits or if you just do a soft audit, if you will, depending on what the departments are enduring and what they're projecting out to the county, I feel very strongly that we need to do that. Any manager, anybody that comes into any position of the purse strings where you control the money for any department or even the entire county, you should absolutely know where you stand with that.
So what makes you an expert on this?
It doesn't make me an expert on it. I used to, when in my old life, when I was a fair
Your
manager,
old life.
years ago, I was a fair manager. Anytime I came into a new fair, I would do a complete audit on it because who's responsible for that? That would have been me, the manager, and the fair board. And a lot of times we would find out that they were either worse off or better off than what they thought because the numbers were corrected. And that's what you have to find out. You have to find out where the money's coming from, where the money's being spent, who authorized it, how they authorized it, did they have authority to authorize it?
Who was the recipient of it?
Right.
Well, how do you even begin to do a budget if you don't know those things?
You can't.
I don't know anything about numbers, you know, at all.
No. You're right.
Yeah, none of us do.
right, but
you know, I mean, I just kind of guess at stuff. But when I look at audits, you know, I look at statements like P&L. You know, you can audit a P&L, for example, and actually total up the math of the categories of the income and expenses, and you get a net profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what a lot of these guys are considering an audit because then the math, it all came out perfect. But in order to really find out what's going on, you got to see the transactional detail of each line item and really go in and split some hairs and see who's getting the money, what are the contracts, how much are they spending, and they seem to have a sort of an aversion at most of these government agencies.
That's right.
Yeah. Show me the ledger.
To doing that. Now,
and I don't understand that because
I do.
You're ultimately responsible, and your name is on the line, your fanny's on the line. Why would you not do that?
Well, that's if you're living in a world where people actually are being held accountable.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
I think that is a good point, though, because I think that if you're not being held accountable by the powers that be, maybe you should be holding yourself accountable, because maybe at some point in time, you might have to face the music, not of your peers, but maybe, I don't know, God Almighty or somebody, maybe just having the stance of, gee, I'm going to be the most honest person that I can be, you know, because I reflect on myself more than I care about the government reflecting on me, so that I get, you know, I have to live with myself. I mean, you would think that these people would take that approach.
Well, and also, too, who's ultimately the boss of any part of the county? You and me, the taxpayer, the electorate. We are the boss. We are the pyramid is upside down. It's got to be flipped on its head. It starts larger at the top and filters and funnels down to the point at the bottom, which would be the board. And everybody in between, they're accountable to the constituency. And we have to operate that way. If we don't, we're fooling ourselves. And for some of the people that have been in the office over the years in all facets, it doesn't matter what district, it doesn't matter what bureaucrats that we have in place or have had in place, they've all done that. They've all just done what they can to get the most power and do everything that they can to truly mess us up.
Well, they don't want to shake the trees because it doesn't matter to them, because they just want the money for their department or for themselves.
That's right.
Is what it comes down to, because if they shake the trees too much and people look into it, they won't get the budget that they want to spend the money the way they want to.
Well, what about the redundancies in all these departments?
Right.
I mean, when you're doing, you have all these redundancies out there. It's like, why? What's the point? It's not like you're an aircraft flying in the air where it's critical, it's life or death. You don't have to have all these redundancies. You have it on paper or in a computer system, and you need to be able to look at that. You need to be able to chew on it, needed to be able to process it and understand it and keep it simple. It's not rocket science.
Right.
Keep it simple.
So if you get elected, I want to make sure that when I go up to the podium that we put my nameplate up there as the Grand Poobah. just so you know.
Well, we'll see what we can do. How's that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I have to ask you, what made you decide to run?
Well, after 5 or 6 years of sitting in those board meetings and seeing nothing getting done that I felt was important from District 3, I've asked several of the former supervisors for District 3, and we sent emails to the current one asking for, some kind of a town hall for District 3, anything. Just get the word out. Just, call the people together and just have a town hall. And none of them ever did. And it's very frustrating because the town hall is really basic. You just rent a building, open it up, and say, hey, come on in and let's talk. And then whoever, you know, the board of supervisor or somebody running for that position, i.e. like me, you know, you get in there and you have a town hall. You talk for 5 minutes, open it up, and then you open it up to the people and find out what they're looking for. Find out what they're hungry to find out about. Get your homework done. And that's critical. We have to do that. And then the people feel engaged, and they are engaged. And then you never know what they're going to come up with because they have things that you may not be completely or absolutely aware of. And then guess what? You're going to be able to work on those things and help. And maybe they're going to be some of the things that you need to work on to solve something else down the road. So those things to me are critical.
So I know that it wasn't an easy decision just because I know you personally. We're friends, you know. And,
right.
I know that it took a long time for you to come to the point where you said, okay, I'm going to run. I know you.
Well, we looked. We were trying to find somebody in District 3. I mean, truly, we had 120 people looking to find somebody in District 3 that would be conservative, that would not be fearful of getting up and speaking in front of people, going on radio and talking to people, and getting out there and doing the work, and had the time. Because I'm retired, and I have the time. That I'm going to treat it like a full-time job. And when I say a full-time job, I'm talking at least 50 to 60 hours a week. I'm not talking 35 or 40. I'm talking more hours than that because any time I worked full-time, it was always that way. So you have to treat it that way, and that would be my focus. I would not be off on the trail of something else doing something else or having a job or a business that I own that requires a lot of my time. So that's where I think and better than any of the other candidates doing this.
But you also took a lot of things in consideration before you threw your hat in the ring as
Absolutely.
Far as your family and
family
others.
Family was first.
Yeah. You considered that at length before you made that decision.
It was a tough decision, let me tell you. And it wasn't just my decision to make in the family.
Right.
It was the entire family. And we talked about everything, and we stewed on it, and we talked about it, and it was tough. It was a tough one to make, and then finally it was like, okay, I guess this is what's going to happen.
Well, as you know, having attended a few of these meetings, it is a meat grinder down there because you've got basically a war of political viewpoints down there a lot of times on issues, and it's not comfortable, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to take the heat if you're going to go to the kitchen, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not fearful of that. I mean, people are going to be people. They're going to say and do what they're going to say and do. And so let them show who they are. I mean, they do it every time. Every Tuesday we see it. It's like, good Lord, you see and hear what these people have to say. It's like, do they not get it? And the question is, or the answer is, yes, they do not get it. But they are trying to do different things. So because right now the political climate is we have a recall in place and we have two elections going on. Or three elections going on. So you need to make sure, you know, once that's all said and done and settled, however it gets settled, then running the business as it needs to be run, because we have to treat it like a business, not just a government entity, you know, the county. It needs to be run like a business. It needs to be run smart. You have to be smart about it. And we have to engage with the public and each other as a board to make sure that we're making the right, solid, good decisions for the entire county.
So we kind of got sidetracked. So first of all, audit.
Audit, yes.
Two.
The windmills, no way, no how. I just, there's no way we can have those windmills up on the mountain. We already have some up there, and for them to come in, for them meaning the state, mm-hmm. because the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors all voted 5-0 to say no. Well, now the state is going to come in and try to do that? No, we need to fight them. And if we need to fight them physically, we need to fight them physically, whatever it takes.
Well, I think people lose sight, and then we'll go to three, lose sight of the fact that if you lose control locally of your counties, each county loses control to the state. We live in a state where they're not looking out for our best interest at all. I mean, if there's no local control on anything, the consequences could be completely – I mean, look what's going on in San Francisco, Sacramento, the homeless.
Right.
I mean, that's here to an extent, but not nearly as bad as it would be if we've got, as Terry said earlier, the spawn of Satan running things down there in Sacramento and running our county as well.
Agreed. And when you look at, you know, the homeless issues, the homeless camps, where they filtrate out and so forth, where it's being acceptable, it's like, okay, we don't push them back. Well, now, you know, you're seeing tents popping up on the on-ramp from Cypress heading north.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big old tent right there now. So that's been there for a couple days now. So that truly is telling you what's really going on here. It's right there. It's not over by, say, off 273 somewhere where you don't see it all the time. Well, most of us don't see it all the time. It's not hidden somewhere. It's right there.
It's getting where it's everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I want to come back to that. What's number three?
What's number three?
Law enforcement, and that includes the jail. And so looking at that, seeing what we're going to be doing there, there are a lot of, I would say, a lot of balls in the air about ideas about what could be done and how it can be done. One of the ideas that I would like to throw on the table just to see if anything can come of it is to work with the High Desert Prison. You know, the governor wanted to close that up, and so apparently he's locking parts of it down. Why not send all of our long-term offenders that are supposed to be incarcerated for a number of years over to High Desert Prison, and we can work with other counties, you know, the 12 or 13, 15 other counties together, collaborate to send all of our respective bad guys to that prison. So that way it opens up room in our current jails, and then we can operate our current jail the way we need to, which also keeps our streets safe. So there's a domino effect there. And I don't know if that's even a possibility or not, but it's just an idea to throw out there to see if we can even do it.
Right. I didn't think that in county jail that anybody was supposed to be able to stay in county jail. Like after a year or two, they're supposed to sent, someplace else.
There's no place else to send them, I think.
Oh, they put them out on the street.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So I wanted to answer the question in the I don't know if you answered it or not, but about the BOS having the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
Having a copy of the budget. But I don't think that the person asking the question understands the sheer volume of what we're talking about. Because
how many pages?
Well, the thing is, if you got a P&L, maybe it's 3 or 4 pages, but if you got a transactional detail of that P&L, that could be 1,000 pages or more. I don't even know. Do you have any idea what the budget even looks like? And does the Board of Supervisors have a copy of it?
Yeah, they do have a copy of it. But the thing is, too, you have to look at each department. And so you have to look at how each department's budget breaks down. So I would,
and that's not going to be in the budget they have. They just they just have numbers.
Right.
Like this department spent $4 million.
Yep.
And this department spent $5
million. Right. There'll be highlights of their budget.
Exactly.
Into the Board of Supervisors.
So you don't
budget.
Know. You have to drill down on each one. Yes. Otherwise, you have no idea what the expenditures
That's
are.
That's exactly right.
Right, because Health and Human Services, I mean, how many departments and how many line items do you have just within that department?
Well,
a lot.
It's going to be trimmed up. I mean, I look all over town and I see Health and Human Services offices everywhere, buildings being rented. I know it's even on this mall. Now, I'm not trying to throw stones or anything as much as I'm saying. It just seems funny to me that shopping mall goes in, and then half of them are occupied, or I don't know about half of them, but several of them are occupied by Health and Human Services offices. And I'm pretty sure they must be renting from the developer, which seems to me kind of odd in a county where why wouldn't you buy the building or like, you know, the sheriff's department or the jail or whatever. Why would you rent perpetually from somebody? It doesn't make sense to me.
And we probably already have, and I don't know this for sure, but we probably have county buildings in inventory that may or may not be being used. Why not use those?
Stillwater.
And others, too, that do we have property that we need to sell to offset and to help our budget? If we have fallow property sitting out there that the county does not need, why are they having it in their inventory? That's crazy. It's not like it's going to gain in value over the course of time that's going to offset anything else you need to do.
My experience in any kind of government is that they always are looking to increase the size of their budget no matter what every year.
Grow so government.
They actually spend money that could be saved in order to show they have a budget or a bigger budget. Because
to get more money.
Then the next year they say, well, here's our budget and we need an increase because of the cost of living and whatever
else.
So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of it, too, that I hear from, like, Cal Fire in those instances is I've heard from guys that they'll say, oh, yeah, at the end of the season, they'll end up cutting up their shovels, they'll dig a hole, they'll bury it all, and basically just eliminate all that so they can buy it the next year.
I've actually seen it myself when I was in the Forest Service early on, them burying stuff.
So they're getting rid of and damaging
That's
government property?
Here, yeah, that was a long time ago. That was before
they do that. They used to do that with school books. Our father witnessed it, that they would just dig a big hole and they would bury the books so that they would get a bigger budget the next year to buy new books or whatever.
They're outdated. So,
yeah.
You know,
They're history books and they're
outdated. Yeah, they're history books. And that's why they're being buried. Very good. Yeah.
Jeez.
That was right before the book ban.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right before. Yeah.
What was number four? Are we at number four?
Well, no. I just, three works.
Three's good for right now.
Yeah. What about Charter County?
Well, I'm all for the charter county. Absolutely. Yes. We need to do that because then we as a county would have more control of what we do as a county. And it would open it up to be more user-friendly for the departments, and the Board of Supervisors would have more control of what was actually going on away from the state.
So what exactly is a charter county? What does that mean?
Well, it means that you have more control. Because right now we're a general county.
Okay.
And so we are, I guess you would call it the younger brother of the state, whereas we would be more like the nephew of the state, if you will. We'd be able to get away from
them. Being redheaded, you might watch your step here.
Yeah, well, it's gray now. But,
I was going to say, we're all gray now. There's no redheads in the building.
No, I'm all for going to be a charter county. Absolutely.
So it'll there's only one thing in this charter, is my understanding, that if they pass it, that they would change right now. It would give them the ability to change things more. I don't know what that is. I can't remember. It was something to do with the elections or Kevin. I don't remember.
Couldn't appoint a replacement?
That's right. And that's the purpose for us to get, the first reason for us to get that is so that the governor cannot replace any sitting elected official. Because right now he can, because after we did the recall here in Shasta County against Leonard Modi and we were successful on it, then down in Sacramento he called together all his legislative buddies, the majority in in Sacramento, and they passed a law saying that we couldn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, so does that just include the Board of Supervisors?
Yes.
Or other offices?
Well, it would be the sheriff, it would be DA, it would be ROV. The county clerk.
Right.
We have to go to a break.
All the elected ones. Yeah.
Would that include judges?
Yes.
Oh, just let me go.
Let's talk about this after the break. I want to cover elections. I want to cover departments, key positions, passing the smell test, homeless and law enforcement.
Right. Oh, so if you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 530-605-4567, and we will see you on the other side of the break.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We're starting to see the hope of all over the world that free people are starting to rise up and say enough's enough. And I think that's, we've gotten several articles published here, OAN and on the Kevin Cry stuff, and Carrie Lake. I saw a video on her the other day talking about us, because we're starting to fight back. And that's not been a thing to do for a long time, because people are absorbed and I just want to be left alone in their lives and so forth. But I want to talk about the elections here.
We do have a caller. Do we want to go to the caller first?
Oh, is it Mark?
It says Mark.
Is it Mark Baird? Yeah. Let's get Mark on there, and we'll talk about that before we get back to the elections.
Are you there, Mark?
I am here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
The fun never stops, Mark. You know that. Another day in paradise.
Yeah. I was calling in reference to something Wynn said about the state and the charter county deal, and we face the same thing in all the counties, Siskiyou County as well. And in fact, just as an example, very quickly, the state entered into an unconstitutional agreement with the state of Oregon without the consent of Congress to rip out 4 dams. Okay, so they're ripping them out now because you can't fight them. You can't fight the state in state court. In fact, you don't have the money to fight them, basically, in federal court almost. And so then, now what they've done is, now that they're in the process of ripping out the dams, the state is going to pass legislation that says that each river, or specific rivers, because the Klamath River is the one they're targeting, will have a minimum, so the state is declaring by legislative fiat that the river will have a minimum amount of water in it at all times. I don't know how they're going to convince God that that's a good idea, but so what we've been trying to fight is the fact that the only place the water can come from once the dams are gone is from individual water rights. And so you have a local entity, the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County, and by the way, I commend you for running. I applaud your work. You're a great friend, and you're also going to be a great supervisor, but what do you think can be done? Because on the local level, you want things. You deserve them. You demand them. The people who elected you want them. The county wants them. But then as soon as you get them, the state passes a law that not only negates your right to have them, but tells you that you cannot have them. How can we fight that?
I just have something to add to that. Up there, when they take out the dam, aren't they supposed to put a pipe in from Jenny Creek up there into Wairika as the water source for the town now? I mean, that's going to be their only water source other than private wells?
Well, that is an issue, isn't it? And we'll see. But they have not compensated anybody around Iron Gate Reservoir for the fact that their wells are going to go dry as soon as the lake's gone. So they don't obviously care about people, and they don't care about Wairika. They never did, never will.
Wow. So what do you say? What do you say to that? What do you think the answer to all of this is? Of the state intervention on the local politics, or the state just usurping power, and you know it's not by the people's will, or even in conjunction with Congress, which would, in theory, have representatives against the state for the benefit of the people. What do you think the answer is?
Well, the board, who is the executive and legislative body of the county in all counties, right? Every county has one, and they are the executive and legislative body for that county. So they need to stand up, and they need to be vocal, and they need to go to every press outlet and let the people know what's really going on, and garner people to support what's going on to fight against what's going on, actually. So that's what needs to happen. I know that it sounds crass and everything else, but, you know, damn it, we can get out there with our guns if we have to do that and say, not on our watch. You know, sometimes you have to get in their face.
You've got to make a stance.
You've got to take a stance. And sometimes when you do that, and I know Mark knows this very well, that when you do something like that, they go away and they never come back. And that's the thing. They're fearful of being shot at. You know, they don't want to be shot at, but at the same time, what are they going to do? Send out the guard? Going to send out the army? Going to send out all these foreigners that are now becoming law enforcement officers in California? They're going to send them out to fight the locals? So those are things that are going to be real. We're going to have to pay attention to those details.
What do you think the answer is, Mark? Do you think it's the state of Jefferson? Is that what you're going? Is that where you're going?
Well, I mean, in the end, the only way to beat this is to start over. This system in California is so broken. I helped the county of Riverside pass Measure EE, where they want to get away from California. You know, we had in 1989, we had the plebiscite where 29 out of 31 counties wanted to get away from California. We want to get away from California. Tim Draper literally had the signatures to put a ballot measure on to break California into thirds until the state somehow, with the help of some environmental group, got a case in front of the state Supreme Court in less than a month. And the result of that was Californians are too stupid to decide to break up the state because it might harm the environment. Look, we're fighting a megalithic government with all the money in the world, our money, who's spending $40 billion a year on illegal aliens to pad the voter rolls with a $60 billion budget shortfall. But let's face it, they have most of the guns and they own all the cops. So I think people need to figure out where they stand, and we need to take a stand, and we need to mean it.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I was trying to read your fundraiser for the Second Amendment court case, but it didn't come through on the email for some reason. I tried to reply, and it says that the box is full, and I can't even reply.
Yeah, I can't apply with either email address that I have.
So if you want to go ahead and tell us what the particulars of the event are right now while we've got you on the air, that'd be great.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's an Apple thing, and I'm trying to fix that right now. My email box is bouncing back. But, it's a fundraiser for the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Posse and the Second Amendment open carry court case, which will make constitutional carry the law of the land in the state of California. And that's going to be March 2nd, 2024, at the new Wairika High School gym, which is at 701 North Oregon Street. It's basically the northernmost off-ramp in Wairika, and you go under the freeway and keep going up that road, and you'll run right into it.
So can you make sure that I get a flyer, Mark? What's the date on that again?
The 2nd.
March the 2nd. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a picture of the flyer and then send it to you, and that picture should print out.
Okay.
Where when you make a flyer on an Apple computer, it won't go to any other computer, I guess.
That's why I don't have an Apple computer,
Mark. Yeah. That might be why I do, because Microsoft can interfere, but then you have Apple to contend with, so I don't know who's better off.
Well, take a bite of the Apple. That's all I have to say.
On the flyer, is there a contact info, like a phone number?
Are you there, Mark? I think we might have lost him. If he wants to, go ahead and call back in if you want to give us some more information on that, or text it to me and I'll read it before the end of the show.
Yeah, if it could send it over to all of us, would be great.
So I want to get back to because we're going to run out of time here. I want to go back to the elections here in the county and the results that we've seen and ask Wynn a question here. You know, we've got Democrats in all of it seems like all the key positions. You know, we got a Democrat in the district attorney's office. We got a Democrat in the voter registrar's office. We got a Democrat in the school county school supervisor. Mm-hmm. And we got a I don't know. We hear that Johnson's not a Democrat, but he was backed by Democrats. Yeah. So anymore, who's not a Democrat, you know, that's in the machine? I don't know. I'm not trying to cast aspersions. But does that smell pass the smell test in this county, which is supposed to be 65%, you know, conservative? It doesn't pass. Maybe there's nothing wrong, but maybe there is. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's very important that all people that are registered to vote do so. And we have been finding that not all people that are registered to vote do so.
So we need to check the voter rolls is what we need to do.
Right. And there may be some people that shouldn't be voting that do, you know, like deceased members of the society. You just never know. Or people that are here for illegal reasons and gotten gains or what have you, they could be on the rolls. I don't know. I'm just asking the question. You're just putting it out there because we know it's happening nationwide. What makes us think that we're special, that it's not happening here? Wrong. It is happening here.
I agree.
And we need to clean things up. And that's one of the departments I would like to do a forensic audit on.
But
from top to bottom.
It just seems kind of weird that we're mostly conservative, but we have so many Democrats in positions.
Right.
It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Especially when you see Kathy Darling Allen winning with 68% of the vote the last time.
Well, when you count your own votes. But anyway, real quick, we've got Mark on the line. If we could bring him on and get a little bit of information and finish it up. You went away, Mark.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, and then my phone wouldn't make a call, but it's an Apple phone, so
we're back to Apple things.
Problem solved.
So I ask you, is there a contact phone number on the flyer?
Yeah, let me give you two of them.
There's mine,
which is 530-227-6729, and then Matt Roach from the Sheriff's Posse, his number is 530-598-7821.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right. Anyway, it's March the 2nd. Doors open at 4. It's the new Yreka High School gym. You can't miss it. It's the last exit in Yreka, and then you just head west, and you'll run right into it just about. And I appreciate anybody that can support this cause. We're going to get open carry reinstated in the state of California because when the government is afraid of its people, you have liberty. And when the people are afraid of the government, you have tyranny. And God bless you guys and win, too. And thanks for all the work that you do.
All right. And thank you for everything that you do.
So what do you think we should do about the elections? I guess we have another caller.
We do have another caller. Should we take the caller?
Let's answer the question on elections
Let's hold on.
And then we'll go to our caller.
Okay, so what's the question again?
The question is that, you know, does it pass the smell test, what's been going on around here? I mean, you said no. But what do we do about it?
Well, we do everything we can. At this point, we have a lot of great people that have been willing to go in and monitor the elections where we can. And we're finding election code. We're getting versed on the election code itself. People are understanding that, learning what they can do and what they can't do, and asking questions. And it makes the people that are in charge of the elections nervous because they know that, you know, every little thing is going to be scrutinized. Well, as it should be, because the elections are the most important thing we have. It's the only thing we have left. And if they take that away from us, then what? They're just going to do appointments by who? The governor. So whoever the governor might be. And I would be saying the same thing if we had a Republican governor. We wouldn't want to do that as well. I mean, because you don't know. You don't want to give any one individual or any one office that kind of power.
Here's what I think is the separation. All these labels, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, I think that's all baloney. You know, everybody knows that I don't like the politicians in general, period. And the real deal is, are you for more government? Are you for restraining government? Are you for, you know, a government being, you know, the government that governs least governs best? You know, in other words, we were supposed to have a limited government that would just operate inside the parameters that were enumerated under the Constitution so that it didn't grow out of control, and it's thus binding down politicians with the chains of a Constitution so that they wouldn't get turned into a monster that would swallow us up, kind of like what we're seeing sort of now. And so, you know, I get tired of the labels because – let me ask you a question. Do you think that Mary – not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. do you think Mary Ricketts is a conservative Republican?
No.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? I mean
– and I'm not just saying this because of – you know, not knowing her or whatever, it's what her actions have been proven.
Right.
Everything she has said and done, the way her votes have gone in the boardroom, no. Not
for
at all.
Years.
Yeah,
for
I
years.
Sit there.
For years.
If I say I'm a Democrat, you're going to have a hard time getting, well, unless you're in charge of the vote. But if I say I'm a Democrat, you're going to have a hard time getting elected in most spots in Shasta County because we are, according to all the data, the demographics, we're overwhelmingly conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So
we are. And I agree with you on the limited government. We take an oath before you even venture in to sign on. When you go to the ROV office, the Register of Voters office, and you work with one of their staff members there, to become a candidate, you have to fill out this boatload of paperwork,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Okay, you have to fill it all out. You sign everything. You do everything you're supposed to do at their direction. You do it right there in-house. You don't take it home and fill it out, bring it back to them. You do it all right there. So I sat there for a good hour going through that process, like all the other candidates doing the same thing. And so you fill it all out. You take the oath right then and there.
To uphold the Constitution.
Two constitutions.
Yeah, the state and the federal.
Federal first.
Yeah.
Federal first, and then the state constitution. Because the way it's mentioned in the swear-in, that's how
right.
they word it. So if California says, then I know you've all heard this from this other clown that we all know a million times, that if California says in its constitution that the federal constitution is the supreme law of the land,
right.
then why are we not honoring that? Why are we not doing what the constitution
says? Most of these
states?
Guys aren't. They could care less about the constitution. We've seen it over
and that's
and
the
over
problem.
Again.
That is the rule book. That's the playbook for our country.
That's
and
what
our state
but
and
that's
our county.
What they're trying to get rid of. They want
right.
they want to get rid of the constitution and they want the government just to be in power over everything, period. And it's and one world government. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory, right?
Right.
Let's talk to Klaus. But let's go to our caller, Dar's on the line.
We have Dar on the line. Good morning, Dar.
Good morning. I've been listening and I'm wondering if I'm gonna get to vote for Wynn. I'm Reichert's my representative.
Oh, Rickert, Mary Rickert?
Right.
Yeah, if you live in District 3, you will be able to vote for me.
I'm in Palisadro.
Yes, you're going to be able to vote for me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because I've been listening to everything. I just have something that I like to read about our founding fathers and what they say and what they stood for and what they wrote. And I have this by Thomas Jefferson here. And he said, I, however, place economy among the first and most important Republican virtues. And public debt as the greatest of dangers to be feared. To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. I am for a government rigorously frugal and simple. Now, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you got the quote, but I think that it's not absolutely paraphrasing totally correctly, but I think the essence is there.
Well, it's Thomas Jefferson. I got it out of a little Constitution book.
Really? It says Republican form of government?
Well, yeah. It says important Republican virtues. I mean, Republican meant something different back
then. Oh,
in
that was, is that when we were back when we were a republic?
Well,
I didn't know we ever
about.
Left it.
That
it's
type of conversation is very dangerous to our
that's
democracy.
That's what you're talking about, the republic. When they were forming the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, they speak of the republic.
Right. No, I totally agree. That's why the Pledge of Allegiance says, and to the republic for which it stands. It doesn't say, and to the democracy for which it stands. But
no.
I'll tell you what, we get pounded with so much misinformation of democracy, democracy, democracy. And the founding fathers actually thought that democracy was a lower form of government. They said it was a mobocracy.
They didn't want that.
And
that's why they invented the republic.
And that's why the word democracy is nowhere in the Constitution.
And that's why they use it so loosely and so falsely nowadays, and everybody thinks democracy. I've talked to people who have completely got a different definition of democracy than what I think it is.
Well,
right, but that's what they do with a lot of stuff, though. They replace words now.
Well, but see, a democracy, you can vote out. The majority can vote out the minority's rights. That's
right.
The difference between a republic and a democracy is that majority rules always in a pure democracy. We had certain inalienable rights that were codified in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that said that they couldn't pass any laws. Government shall make no laws to abridge these rights. And these people don't get it. They think that by taking your rights away in this particular situation that they're going to be free somehow later on of those rights. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, we need to move on.
But like I say,
thanks
for calling. But you notice that's the word game that they play now, mm-hmm. is if they interject democracy, people don't question it. So they actually are changing.
This is 1984.
Yeah.
Freedom doesn't mean freedom anymore.
Yeah.
Freedom
like,
means
wow.
that the government lets you out of your house once in a while.
You mean this is being Orwellian? Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah.
1984 revisited.
Nice.
So. Okay, why should somebody vote for you over... we got Corky Harmon mm-hmm. running, and you and Mary Rickard, correct?
Right.
And... No, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Just the three of us. Yeah.
Why should somebody vote for you?
Why not?
Okay. That was a simple answer. Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
No. I feel that I'm the best candidate because Mary has shown what kind of candidate she is. And so I won't even go there, but she has shown where she is. And
okay.
I'm different than her. Corky and I parallel a little bit, but I have a lot more experience in the government than Corky does. He's got practical experience in running his company, his businesses, mm-hmm. and doing what he does. But as far as going to the board meetings, seeing what the nuances are, knowing who the players are, hearing what they have to say, and watching how the interaction goes at the board meeting, that's really important, very important for anybody who's going to be running for those five seats, because you have to understand who you're dealing with on a regular basis as far as the public. And see how they treat the board members sitting up there. Some they are drooling all over, and others they mm-hmm. are just, you know, being vulgar and profane to. And you just need to be able to take that heat and just know that that's part of the game. And I hate to say it's a game because that's what it is in that sense, but they're engaging that way. And I don't see where the other two, Mary clearly doesn't seem to be doing the right things for us. And it's frustrating because I've wanted to have, you know, a town hall in our community, in District 3 specifically, to find out what's going on. Because when you look at how large District 3 is, it's the largest geographical district in the county. It runs from Victor Avenue east to Lassen County line. And
wow.
it runs from Dirch Road to the Siskiyou County line. It's huge.
That is huge.
And when I worked for the county at the assessor's office as an appraiser, all of my work area was in District 3. And I worked there for 8.5 years. And so I know the district pretty well. I know where the marijuana grows are. I know where the meth labs are. I know where the places are that you really don't want to go to unless you're well-armed and not alone.
Or carrying papers.
Right.
Or carrying papers. Now, my paper punch is always nearby. And the thing is, and I know there are some great people out there that are doing like the rest of us, you know,
just trying to be left alone.
Want to be left alone. They're running their life. They're doing what they're doing. They're trying to get through life like the rest of us, just paying the bills and doing whatever they can for themselves and their family and, you know, for whoever else they can contribute to. So I don't know. I feel I'm the better one suited to do that because I have that working knowledge of the area. I've had connections with different people that have run – for different campaigns, and I see a commonality with them on what they're doing. They're looking to go in and get things fixed and move on. And we have had a couple of them that get in there and have made a difference here recently.
Right.
And I want to be able to contribute to that if that's possible.
Hey, in the chat room, they're asking if there's going to be a debate between you, Mary, and Cork.
I was going to say, don't you have a town hall coming up?
Funny you say that. I've got a couple things to list here. Okay, this Tuesday, the 23rd, as in 2 days, at 6 p.m., hosted by the Intermountain Patriots Group. It's going to be at the Fall River Lions Hall, which is in MacArthur. Again, the Fall River Lions Hall is in MacArthur. It's the Fall River Valley, so there you go. And again, that'll be at 6 o'clock, and that's at 44256 Highway 299 MacArthur. It's not, you can't miss it. Driving into MacArthur, heading east, it's on your left-hand side. It's the two-story building right there, and it's kind of a white color with a little blue-green trim on it. So that's where that's going to be held on the 23rd, this coming Tuesday. And that'll be a forum that'll be, like I said, hosted by the Intermountain Patriots. And Corky and I have both confirmed that we will both be there. And Mary's is pending scheduling because there's a board meeting that day, a board supervisors meeting that day. So depending on how long that goes, she may or may not make it there. So I'm just letting you know that. And then I'm having my own town hall hosted by me, for me, not for anybody else, not for any other candidates to come in. And it's going to be held out in Palo Cedro. And that'll be on February 2nd at 6 p.m., and that'll be at the Palo Cedro Grange.
And there is a board meeting this Tuesday as well, I believe, at 9 o'clock.
Yes, there is.
And then isn't there a debate with all the candidates coming up on the 31st?
Yeah, the League of Women Voters. And that one's going to be happening. Is that the... Oh, crud, no.
I was trying to find it, and...
Let me see.
So if you win-win, we can say you won.
It's a win-win situation.
That way it would be a win-win-win-win.
Yeah, win-win.
Sure. However you want to look at it.
Never mind.
I was trying to find... I think all the candidates are supposed to be attending the one on the 31st, but...
I think that's right. I think that's the date, and I don't have it in my calendar, but I confirmed that I would be there as well.
So they can go, you have a website or Facebook or any place they can go to and take a look and find all these events?
Well, political campaigns with Facebook take time to put together, and we started months ago, and we're still in the process because they go through every letter of any information you put in there, and then apparently they check your current Facebook account.
Who's they?
But
Facebook. The commies.
But there is other ways to get the information out there.
Yes.
You have a website?
I have a website at votewincarpenter.com. Votewincarpenter.com. You can go check that out. And it's a web page, and so it's got some information on there, and it's a building in progress like everything else. We've had some hiccups with that one a couple times. So we're and I've got a great gal working on that. Thank you, Christy. She's doing a wonderful job. And so there you go.
Anything else that you would like to get out in the last couple minutes?
Sure. I would like to thank everyone that came to my fundraiser that was held on December 2nd. And Linda, you were running the bank for me, and I appreciate that. And Mark, you came and spent some money there. I appreciate that. I want to thank everybody that participated, no matter how big or how small. I want to thank everybody that helped with that fundraiser. It was a fun event. It was the first time ever that I'd ever had one for myself. I work all the other fundraisers.
Yes, you do.
And it's different having it for yourself because people are there for you. And, you know, normally it's everybody, you know, people are there for other people and not for me. And that's fine because that's who they're there for. And I'm there for those other folks as well. But it was weird when the tables were turned a little bit. It was an odd feeling, you know, all these people coming in. And then, you know, it was raining like crazy that day. And so we didn't know what to expect. We had a response of probably 75%, but then we sold out, and it was awesome. It was great, and we made some good money, and so that's going towards paying for all the stuff that we have to pay for the campaign.
And if they go to your website, you still have to pay for stuff. Unfortunately, nothing's
changed. The news on Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR.
Well, there you have it.
Yep. We're at the end of the time.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force like fire, is dangerous, serving the purple master.
Thanks for coming in.